We're so thrilled that you are here today. Exodus chapter number 17, beginning at verse number 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Amen. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Praise God. I want to preach this morning for just a few minutes of time about the Lord is my banner. Amen. The Lord is my banner. That's what Jehovah Nissi means. The Lord is my banner. Praise God. Why don't you just put your hands together, lift your voice. Amen. To ask the Lord to help us today as we magnify Him. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We're so indebted to you for all that you have done, for all that you do for us. We bless your name. We magnify you and exalt you. We give you glory and honor today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. We know what a banner is. Oftentimes we equate a banner to some type of little printed piece of vinyl that's outside somewhere flapping in the wind, or on one of those little sticks and such, just a banner in different places. But in all reality, a banner is a flag. It is a flag. It is a sail. In the old days, the pirates and all of those others, they flew under a banner that marked them and that identified them. And just simply by looking at their sail, there were those from far horizons that would be able to tell that is a dark sail and we need to stay away from them. They were identified by their sail, by their sign, by their flag. It is a signal and it can also be a token. But every country that we know of in this day and age, they all have flags that identify them. Obviously, the flag of the United States of America, designed there in the red, white, and the blue. But it has 13 stripes upon it, representing the 13 original colonies. And it also has the 50 stars there, representing each of the 50 states that make up this United States of America. And so we could take a look at many other states. All states have their own flags and fly under their own sign. But we see that they are there because of what the United States has made them. And so you will see the flag of Kansas flown, but you will also see the United States flag there. You'll see the flags of other states flown, but you'll see the sign that they all fly under, and that is the United States of America. In our day and age, in our generation, we have seen things that would probably cause our forefathers to roll over in their graves concerning the burning of the flag, and as it is put upon the state's capitals and such, and that is burnt there, and the degradation of that flag and the total I'm going to sue my mind for non-support here. Praise God. But having no respect, the disrespect that people have for that flag, and all of those that we have heard in the past few years that have made declarations that they are sick of what the United States is standing for, promoting, allowing to happen and stuff, and they make this declaration, I'm just going to move to another country. Well, my hat's off to you, and I say, I bid you adieu. You can just go. Amen. I'm just simply saying, if you don't like America, you got the right to leave. If you don't love America, amen. Praise God. Amen. But some of us are still very thankful for what we have. We are thankful for the veterans that have stood before us, that have given their lives. Amen. That have bled, that have died, that have fought in battles so that we could have this land that we call, that we still call the land of the free. Amen. And as long as it's free, I plan to occupy in it. I don't want to be like one of those occupiers that are sitting on the streets and that are protesting everything that's going on. Amen. But I'm going to stand for what America has stood for. Amen. In these generations that have gone by. And we've also seen those that have knelt when the presentation of the flag was, or the singing of the national anthem, and the disrespect that they have shown unto the flag. And again, we tell them, same thing. If you don't love it, you're more than welcome to leave. And you know what? Some of us, if you'll talk to us, we'll even buy your plane ticket to get out. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, I didn't come to preach a political message today, but sometimes talking about that flag just tends to cause some things to burn up on the inside. Amen. I'm telling you, I still take it personal when I see flags being burnt and the disrespect that is had, and the people walking and stomping on them, and just all the things that happen. I still take it personal. I've got family that have gone on before that have fought in these wars. Amen. For the freedom that you and I possess. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And for those that want to be citizens, there is a way to be a citizen. And they can apply for citizenship, and they can go through the classes, and they can take the test, and they can stand up, and they can raise their right hand, and they can pledge allegiance to the flag and pledge allegiance to the nation that they are. We're not against the different countries and nationalities and such that have come in. There are those of the descent of the Mexican descent. There are those of some Asian descents. But they have also joined up and signed into our armed forces, and they fight for this just as well. There ought to be something worth fighting for, and I still believe that the church is worth fighting for. I still believe that it's worth standing up and preaching the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I'm not too worried about what everybody is saying in protest against the church. Amen. We've been born into this church, and I plan on standing and fighting for this church because it means something to me. I said the truth means something to me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Before I get on a tangent, let me get back to my notes. Amen. Praise God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Galatians chapter number 4 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. Let me just, amen, tell you today that there are two laws that rule in every man, that one or the other will rule in every man. Amen. James talked about the law of liberty, and then Paul talked about the law of sin. And you are going to be governed by one or the other. Amen. It's not that you just get to do your own thing. We talked a little bit about that to us to a degree even this past Wednesday, that there are even stipulations and requirements to voluntary. If God said if you were going to volunteer to do this, then there are some things that I require of the sacrifice. Amen. But we have been adopted into this glorious kingdom, the kingdom of God. And if we have been adopted, then therefore we are sons. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that we shall be like him when we shall see him. Praise God. Amen. John spoke that. And therefore, with that said, we are adapting to be more like him. If I could say it like this, we are adapting to the adoption. We were not born into this family. We were governed and ruled by sin. David said, in sin was I conceived. Amen. And that we are born in sin and shapen in sin iniquity. Sin is just the normality of the ways that we follow after. But when God came into our lives, amen, we saw our flaws, we saw our weaknesses, and we cried out unto him, and he purchased our salvation through the process of redemption. Praise God. Romans chapter number 8 verse 14. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. I almost stopped and cut that verse out and didn't reference that. Amen. But I think that it just makes too much sense to put it in there, in that Paul is speaking concerning the adoption that we have, and that we are now sons of God, and we have been adopted into the family of God. And all of that sounds great and wonderful. Amen. And we are very excited about that. But Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and I just say that there will be sufferings, there will be persecution, there will be hard times, there's going to be trials, because you have an adversary, the devil, who does not like what you have chosen to do, in that you have chosen to be adopted by the Spirit of God. Amen. You're going to go through things, child of God. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. And I don't plan on holding you very much longer. Amen. Amen. Plans oftentimes fail around me. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Don't laugh so hard there. Praise God. But you're going to suffer for the cause of Christ, because that there is an enemy. And then Paul told the church in Ephesus, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. When you were adopted into the family of God, you did not keep that old name that you had. In the book of Revelations, he talks about giving them a white stone and a new name. But I'm so thankful that we took on the family name in the waters of baptism, that when we went down in the name of Jesus, amen, we came up born into that wonderful, glorious, and powerful family. And there is something about a family name that just tends to hold its own. Amen. You know, the old cliche is everybody trying to keep up with the Jones. Amen. And that just signifies that it just seems to be that the Jones are always a little bit above, a little bit ahead, a little bit beyond of where everybody else is. And so there are names that are such as, if I was to say the name Rockefeller, there is an association that is with that. What about the name Gates? Or what about the name Musk? Or what about the name Reagan? Or what about the name Lincoln? Or what about the name Washington? Or what about the name, and you put in whatever name that there is. But I'm here today to tell you that there is a name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And Rockefeller is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Bill Gates is going to bow at the name of Jesus. But while it is my choice, I bow my knees and I confess with my tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Why? Because when I was in the dumps, Jesus showed up. When I was in a mess, Jesus showed up. When I wasn't worth anything, Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise today. Praise God. And then in Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 1, Isaiah writes and he says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah was born during the days of Uzziah. And all of the things that happened in Uzziah's life, Isaiah is going to have great memory of most of those. It was the prophet Isaiah that would walk in unto Hezekiah's life and talk to him. But there in Uzziah's time, there was things that happened that Isaiah was privy to, and that Isaiah had to go through. But Isaiah makes a declaration in stating that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There was something, and that something was somebody, and it stood in the way of Isaiah being able to see the Lord in all of his glory. If I could say it like this, I would say that King Uzziah represented a solar eclipse blocking out the sun from the view of Isaiah. Isaiah was not able to see. He was only able to see through a glass darkly. There was only just darkness, not necessarily gross darkness. There being some type of illumination that was there that caused Uzziah to reach, that caused Uzziah to continue to press forward. But it was when the king that occupied the throne, when he died, Isaiah turned and he said, and he saw the Lord in this marvelous vision. And he begins to describe this vision, the angels that was there. But he said his glory filled the temple. He said that his train did fill the temple. And so it was when his distractions, amen, were eliminated that he saw the Lord. And when he stopped looking at the arm of the flesh, that king that represented mankind there, that represented the authority of the land, that represented the coming and the going, that represented the rules and the regulations, represented the laws of the land, that was the king that was there. And Isaiah says that when that king died, I was able to see the Lord. And when I saw the Lord, I saw such glory. I saw angels that were standing there in the temple. Amen. In the heavens. And they had six wings. Two they flew. Two they covered their face. Two they covered their feet. But yet they all cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so Isaiah was able to see this vision, was able to see this glory when the king passed away. In the year that he died, Isaiah saw the Lord. That was the year that he saw a vacated throne on earth, but was able to see an eternal throne in the heavens. There had been that spiritual eclipse that had caused Isaiah, and that had affected Isaiah's vision, and that had affected all the people in the land. But once Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. Not only was he able to see the Lord, but he was now also able to see the deplorable situation that he was in and that the people were in. Before then, he was not able to see the degradation. He was not able to see, amen, the bonds, and able to see all of the problems that the land was facing with that. It was as if the king was keeping everybody blind unto this. And the king was keeping everybody from being able to see really what was going on. Amen. There was a facade that was there, kind of like some of the politicians that we hear about. Amen. And that take upon them the full responsibility of making the economy what it is. And we on the subjects looking around and saying, What economy? What good economy? It's kind of like, amen, the king's new clothes. Amen, as the king is out there parading around in his new clothes. And everybody else is just clapping, saying, oh, yeah, new clothes. I see. But there's just a little boy that's standing by that would say, new clothes? I don't see any new clothes. I think the king is naked. But he had been sold a bill of goods, amen, to believe that he had some new clothes. This is kind of like where Isaiah was living in his time. But there came a time that the king died. And I just stop and interject. Amen. You heard me preach just a few services ago about that king. Amen. And all that it represents there. And that you don't tell a king anything if he doesn't want to hear about that. Can I just say that there are some things that rule in your life. Amen. There's some things that rule, that you have made to rule in your life. And there are some other things that rule in your life that you're not too fond of and you're not too happy. Kind of like King Uzziah sitting upon that throne. We are living in a generation where it seems like drugs rule the society that we know. And it's not just the street drugs, but it's prescription drugs. It's not just drugs, but it's all forms of alcohol and alcoholism that is ruling families. And not just ruling families, but ruining families. There is depression from every side that is ruling people. Anxiety that seems to be ruling people. And people don't have any joy. They don't have any happiness. They don't have any peace in their lives anymore. No wonder that the divorce rate is off the charts and sky high in the day that we are living in. It's simply because there is a king that is living and sitting upon the throne. But here is Moses, and here they are fighting Amalek, and Joshua is down there fighting, and Moses would take his hands and would raise them into the air, and as long as his hands were in the air, then Joshua would have victory. But his hands would get weary and begin to sag down, and as they fell to the side, Amalek would begin to prevail. And Moses saw the correlation there and said, I gotta have my hands up. And through the day, his weary hands would sag down. But two men walked up beside him, Aaron and Hur, one on the left, one on the right. And they lifted up the hands of Moses. And as long as his hands stayed in the air, amen, they had the victory that was needed. And when it was all said and done, God said, I want you to write this down in a book. And I want you to declare why there's going to be people that's going to come after you that are going to need to know about this. There's going to be people in generations after you that's going to need a little bit of faith here and there. And so Moses would write it down in what we know today is Exodus 17 and 15. And then he would declare that he built himself an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. In other words, God is my banner. Oh yeah, God is my flag. God is my emblem. I'm flying under that flag. I'm flying under that train. I'm flying under that sail because I couldn't do it on my own. My hands were sagging, and God helped us. Amen. And God helped us to overthrow Amalek. Every time that Moses would come around that altar, he would remember Jehovah is my banner. Amen. God is my banner. God is my country. I'm flying under that. What are you saying, Moses? Moses is saying, as long as I've got God as my banner, I can't be beat. As long as I'm flying under the flag of heaven, I cannot be defeated. Amen. Moses would be the first to be able to state, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Praise the Lord. And Isaiah said that the king passed away. He said, I saw the Lord in a way that I had never seen him before. And he said his train filled the temple.
in that day and time, there was a tradition that they had that when kings battled one another and they had their train, that the victorious king would go up to the defeated king and he would cut off his train and he would sew it to his train. And so it would make the victorious king's train longer. And so when you seen a king whose train was quite long, it signified, amen, that he was victorious more times than not. And all it would take would be to lose just one, and his entire train would be cut off and sewn upon another. And it would begin to just switch and swap back and forth. But somebody picked it up one time and they sewed the flag to the train. Amen, signifying, this is who I'm with. And when this one was defeated, he took his flag and sewn it to his train. And he took this one's flag and he sewed it to his train. And Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, I saw that his train filled the temple. Nobody was able to beat him. Nobody was able to conquer him. Nobody was able to overcome him. Isaiah said, that's the side that I want to be on. That's the sign that I want to fly. That's the flag that I want to fly under. Amen. I just wonder here today, is anybody content and happy to be flying under the flag of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords? Praise God. Let me just preach for just a few minutes here today that some of you are flying under the flag of being defeated. Your life has been defeated. Everything that you have tried has been defeated. You're living in such depression and such angst that you've lost your faith and you have no hope and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. You've tried drugs and it doesn't work. Alcohol and it doesn't work. Immorality leaves you hopeless and you don't know where to go. I'm here today to tell you that there's 50 others that are in this place that are saying, try Jesus, because we used to be of the same way. You're looking at people who used to be drug addicts, alcoholics, dope heads, but God in his mercy reached down and blessed us. We weren't worth anything. We didn't have anything to offer, but God came. I'm here today to tell you, depression can't win when you've got God on your side. Amen. Anxiety can't win when you've got God on your side. Amen. If you're hopeless, let me introduce you to one who is the hope. When I need healing, I go to Jesus. When I need deliverance, I go to Jesus. When I need victory, I go to Jesus. And when I need salvation, I go to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Oh, let's stand here today and magnify him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, saint of God, you're still on the winning side. You're still on the winning side. Hallelujah. Can I encourage somebody here today? You're still on the winning side. Hey man, you've been wringing your hands, wondering and thinking to yourself, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. You need to turn back to the rock that is higher than you. Go back to that altar where God delivered you from. Go back to that altar where God healed your body. Go back to that altar. Why? Because he's still Jehovah Nissi. He's still my banner. He's still my victory. He's still my deliverance. Hallelujah. If you need healing today, you can come to the front. Amen. If you need salvation today, you can come to the front. There is an altar that is here today. Amen. That's going to represent hope. There is an altar here today that's going to represent victory. There is an altar here today that is going to represent deliverance. Amen. The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper. It's not going to prosper physically. It's not going to prosper mentally. It's that's not going to prosper spiritually. No weapon shall be able to prosper against you. You need to claim the blood. You need to put the flag back up and remember it was God that brought you out. It was God that delivered you. It was God that helped you. It was God that saved you. Preacher, how do I do it? Where do I start? You got to start at an altar of repentance. And you got to say, God, would you forgive me of everything that I've done? I'm tired of living under the law of sin. I'm tired of living, amen, in depression. I'm tired of living in the ways of the world. I need you to forgive me. I need you to help me. And if you will ask God to forgive you, the Bible says that he is just and able to forgive you of all of your sins. Then you got to be born in the family, that adoption process, baptized in his name, filled with his spirit, and let God lead and guide you.